whoever seeks blessing through a tree or a rock or the like of them. And then we took some points concerning Atabarruk. And before moving on to the ayah, the author brings and Ibn Uthaymeen, Hafizullah, brings a point on the saying, the shajarin, he who seeks blessings through a tree. He says it means any tree whatsoever. And he mentions that from the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu is the fact that he cut down the tree of Bay'atul Ridwan, where the Pledge of Allegiance was given. When Umar radiallahu anhu found that the people went there and took it as a place of devotions, that Umar radiallahu anhu ordered it to be cut down, to cut off any road leading to shirk. And he's saying, or any rock. And on that point, Ibn Uthaymeen, Hafizullah, makes the point, any rock whatsoever. He says, even the rock that is found in Bayt al-Maqdis, meaning with the rock that's found in Bayt al-Maqdis, with that innovative dome placed over it, and we don't go there to seek any blessings, and even al-Hajar al-Aswad, even the black stone, we don't take it as something blessed. Rather, what is authentic is that with regard to al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, that we touch it and we kiss it as worship to Allah, and in order to follow the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and through doing that blessings and reward are attained. Not because that thing itself is a, you know, something containing blessings and so on. No, we kiss or touch the black stone of Hajar al-Aswad as worship to Allah, and in order to follow the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is indicated by the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, found in al-Bukhari in the translation volume 2 number 667, that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he kissed the black stone, he said, I know you are only a stone and can neither bring benefit nor harm. And had I not seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, I would not have kissed you. And he's saying, and their like, al-Hajar, wa nahwahuma, or the like of them, Ibn Uthaymeen says, such as trying to seek blessings from houses and tombs and rooms, that we don't seek any blessing from these things either. Even if it is the room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do not seek to attain blessings from his room by going and wiping upon the walls and so on. Then the saying of the author, rahimahullah, wa qawlillahi ta'ala, afara'aytum al-Lat wal-Uzza wa manat al-thalithah al-ukhra. Surah An-Najm, the 53rd surah, ayahs 19 to 20, with the explanation, do you not see, or have you not seen, Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, and the third one of them, Manat? Then the explainer says, with regard to this ayah, Al-Lat used to be an idol worshipped by Thaqif, and Al-Uzza was an idol worshipped by Quraysh and by Banu Kinana, and Manat was worshipped by Banu Hilal. And Ibn Hisham said, the last one, Manat, was worshipped by Huzail and Khuza'a. Then the explainer breaks down and explains what each of these idols actually was. Because sometimes it's easy for people to get the impression, or for the people who do commit shirk, to give the impression they're just little stone figures. And that what the people do nowadays is something completely different. Whereas when you see the reality of them, it's exactly that these things were exactly the same as the things that people people worship today, they were basically like tombs. Tombs with their guardians and custodians around them. Exactly the same as they worship now, and built upon the graves of people. So the explainer says, as for alert, then the majority of people recite the word as alert with a single ta at the end. And Ibn Abbas and Ibn Az-Zubayr and Mujahid and others recited as alert with a shadda on the last ta, two ta's at the end, alert. So on the first recital, on the first way of reciting it, or saying it, then they called this idol of theirs alert, deriving its name from Al-Ilah, the true God who deserves worship. They derived it from that name of Allah. And they derived the name Al-Uzza from Al-Aziz. They derived the name from the name of the Almighty, Allah the Almighty, Al-Aziz. They derived a name from that for their idol, Al-Uzza. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari said, so they took out their names for these things from the name of Allah the Most High, saying, alert, they said, is a feminine form of Allah's name, and high is Allah above their saying. And likewise, they said, Al-Uzza is from the name Al-Aziz. So they extracted part of their ilhad, was that their unbelief was that they took Allah's names and extracted names from them, made them into feminine names and applied them to their idols. And Ibn Kathir said, alert, it was a white rock with a structure built around it. And it was in Aqtaif. It had keepers, and it had curtains upon it, and it had keepers around it. And it had a courtyard. This is what Allah was. It wasn't a little idol, a little figure. It was an actual structure, a building with people there. So he said, Ibn Kathir said, Allah was a white rock with a structure built around it in the form of a house in Aqtaif. It had curtains there and keepers. And it had a courtyard. And it was greatly honored by the people of Taif. And they were faqih, and those who followed them. They used to boast through it over others besides them from the rest of the tribes of the Arabs, besides Quraysh. Ibn Hisham said in his seerah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, so he destroyed it and he burnt it down with fire. And in the second way of pronouncing it, Allah ta, with a shadda on the last ta, then its meaning, Ibn Abbas, in that regard, said, radiallahu anhuma, it used to be a man. Yaluttu, the verb where the name is taken from, means to mix gruel or broth. He mixed the gruel or the broth for people who came to make Hajj. So when this man died, the people started devoting themselves to his grave. And that is mentioned by Al-Bukhari, volume 6, number 382. And Ibn Abbas also said, he used to sell broth. This man, alert, used to sell broth and ghee by the side of a rock. And he used to mix the rock, mix this mixture upon that rock. So when this man, when he died, Faqif used to worship that rock out of honor and respect for him, for that man. And Mujahid said something similar. And added, so when he died, they worshipped it. When Allah died, then the people worshipped that rock where he used to be. The explainer says, I say there is no contradiction between these two different sayings. Because what they used to do was that they would worship that rock and that grave. I mean, the rock was in the place and the grave was there. So they used to worship that, taking it as an object of devotion and giving great honor to it. And for the same reason that they did that, the shrines and the domes have been built upon the graves. Saying for the same reason those mushriks before Islam did what they did, for the same reason and the same thing with what the people in this ummah have done. For the same reason. That there was a pious man there, or somebody that claimed to be pious. Therefore they put his grave there, and then they built a structure around his grave, and then for honour and respect for that person, they went for devotion there, and they ended up worshipping it. The same before Islam, and the same in this ummah. And they took it as an idol. So this shows a clear explanation that the people of Jahiliyyah used to worship the pious people and their images. As for Al-Uzza, the second one, then At-Tabari said, Al-Uzza used to be a tree with a building around it and with curtains placed around it in a grove of date palm trees between Mecca and At-Ta'if. And Quraysh used to honour it. And on the day of Uhud, Abu Sufyan was a mushrik at the time. At the time of Uhud, Abu Sufyan was a mushrik. He said, boasting, "We have Al-Uzza, and there is no Uzza for you." So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanded his companions to shout the reply, "Allahu mawlana wala mawla lakum." Allah is our guardian lord and helper, and there is no guardian lord and helper for you. Put it by Al-Bukhari, translation volume 5, hadith number 375. And with regard to the destruction of Al-Uzza, if it's authentic, An-Nasa'i and others report from Abu Tufail that when Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, liberated Mecca, he sent Khalid ibn al-Walid out to these date palm trees where Al-Uzza was. And it was built, this structure was built around three gum acacia trees. So he cut down these trees and he destroyed the building that was built around them. And then he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him. So he said, "Go back, because you have not done anything." So Khalid went back. And when the keepers of that shrine saw him, the shrine of Al-Uzza, when they saw him coming again the second time, they fled off and ran into the mountains. And they were saying, "O Uzza, O Uzza." So Khalid came to it and found a woman who was naked and had untidy hair. And she was throwing dust upon herself, upon her head. So Khalid struck her with the sword and killed her. Then he went back to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and told him. And he said, "That was Al-Uzza." And the person adding the note says, this chain of narration is Hassan. And the explainer says, so all of this, and things that are even worse than this, occurs in these times, at the tombs of the dead, and at their shrines. Exactly the same thing, they build exactly the same thing, it's just a structure around a grave, and you have keepers there, people you have to pay money to and send money to. The things that the mushriks did in the time of the Prophet and before that, the people in this ummah, they do the same thing, exactly. And worse. Then he says, and as for Manat, then it was at a place called Al-Mushallal, near Qudayd, which is a place between Mecca and Medina. And the tribes of Khuza'a and Al-Aws and Khazraj used to honour it. And they used to enter Ihram for pilgrimage from that place, from the idol Manat, from that where it was. And they extracted its name from the name of Allah, Al-Mannan, the bestower of blessings. From the name of Allah, they extracted a name for their idol again. And they called it that from the word meaning to spill out. yumna, to spill out, meaning the blood, because of the blood that they used to shed out there. They used to shed, they used to worship, they used to sacrifice animals there and split and shed a great deal of blood to seek blessings from that idol. And Al-Bukhari reports in the hadith from Urwa, from Aisha, that she said it was an idol between Mecca and Medina. And Ibn Hisham said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sent Ali to destroy it in the year of the conquest of Mecca. So the meaning of the ayah, as Al-Qurtubi says, is that there is something expressed in meaning here, not mentioned in wording. So that the ayah means, do you see these idols? Do they benefit or do they cause any harm? Such that you should claim them as sharers with Allah the Most High. Then he's saying, then the explainer goes into the rest of the ayah, the continuation of the ayah. With the address to the mushriks, alakum al-dhakaru wa lahul untha. Is there for you, the mushriks, male children, and you attribute female children to Allah? Ibn Kathir said, you yourselves, you mushriks, attribute children to Allah. And not content with that, you make those children that you attribute to Allah, make them daughters. But for yourselves, you will only prefer sons. And the next part of the ayah, تِلْكَ إِذًا قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزًا. That indeed is an unjust and futile division. Ibn Kathir says, because how can you give such a share to your Lord? This share, that they said, you attribute, first of all, you attribute children to him. And then, not only that, you attribute daughters to him, which is something you mushriks absolutely hate and are disgusted with yourselves. And you attribute that to your Lord. So if such a division was done between the creation, it would be oppression and would be foolishness. Because you yourselves declare yourselves free and you hate having daughters. And yet you make them children of Allah the Most High. And he's saying, in the next part of the ayah, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. Meaning, these are nothing more than names that you and your forefathers have made up from yourselves. مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. Allah has sent down no proof for these. إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. They are only following mere pure opinion. Meaning, he says, no basis except their good opinion of their forefathers who followed this way, this futile way. وَمَا تَحْوَى الْأَنْفُسِ. And that which their souls desire. Meaning they are just following that which is desired by their souls with regard to leadership and honour of their forefathers came before. Meaning, their forefathers were from this way, and because of their own love for leadership and that their leadership should continue, and because of their false respect for their forefathers, they continue upon this way. He's saying at the end of the ayah, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. This, when the clear guidance has come to them from their Lord. Ibn Kathir says, so Allah the Most High, He sent the messengers to these people with the clear truth and with the decisive proof. Yet despite this, they still followed. Or rather, yet despite this, they did not follow that which they came with, and they didn't comply with it. Then the explainer says, so the way in which the ayahs agree with the chapter heading is because the worshippers of these idols, these three we mentioned, they used to believe that they could obtain blessings, barakah, from these idols, and they would give honour to them, and they would make supplication to them, and they would seek aid from them, and they would depend upon them for anything that they desired, and they would have hope in them, and have hope for their blessing and their intercession, and so on. So likewise, seeking blessings from the graves of the righteous people, such as Alert, and seeking blessings through trees and rocks, such as Al-Uzza and Manat. That is a part of what those mushriks did with regard to the idols. So whoever does this, the same thing, and has the same belief of these people with regard to a grave, or a rock, or a tree, then he is acting exactly the same as these worshippers of the idols, and doing exactly the same as what they did, and it is just the same shirk. And even, he says, even the present day situation of the mushriks now, with the things that they worship, it's even greater and worse than what happened with those people. And Allah's aid is sought.